Well, today we conclude our study of Revelation.
I know you hate to see it come.
I do. I learned some more last night. That's, I tell you, everybody has a theory. I won't say, a friend of mine posted something and he's been listening to this guy. And his thoughts, he says he's been in an in-depth study of it, and he really feels that in the next 3 to 4 weeks, it's... But then the guy that I listened to, that he listened to, says, don't count the days. I mean, he's all about numbers. And but we won't get into that. But what have you learned from the study of Revelation?
Be ready.
Be ready.
So the best thing is in the end.
That's what we're...
We're going to be blessed with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be with Him forever on a new heaven and a new earth.
No tears, no violence.
Like Paul Harvey, you know, the rest of the story as a Christian, we know the rest of the story.
Yeah.
And that's what today's study kind of brings about. Is we're skipping a lot, but it's basically going back through, talking about the seven bowls and this and that, and we won't get into all that, but the end is, and it sort of leads up to, we've studied and we know that Christ is preparing His bridegroom for us to come again. But thinking about that, why do you think people, when you go to a wedding, why does everybody just, when the bride comes in?
She's radiant.
Is she the center of attention? But when it's all over, what happens? She takes that beautiful dress and she puts it away. Does that sort of relate to when, let's say, not when Jesus died, but we've had the bride come, but when He went away, was that sort of like a bride herself putting her dress away because she'll never use it again? But we're told, and we've studied and we've seen in the different lessons about the Lamb who was worthy, who was standing there appearing to be totally taken away from us, but was raised from the dead. We talked about plagues that may come, swarms of locusts, spiritual warfare, which we can sort of relate to that a little bit in today's time. But like Ms. Wilson said, in the end, and we see, if you start out in Revelation 21, the first verse, John in his vision, he says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea no longer existed. Kind of jumping ahead because next week we start back studying Genesis, the beginning, but we all know the first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, John's vision is he's seeing a new heaven come. Because in our studies, we've been told that we anticipate that as life as we expect it today, the world we live in, it's not going to be the same. And I thought an interesting point is, if think about today's earth, we have bodies of water. But John's vision says that the sea will no longer exist. Now, the seas that we know of today, do they symbolize evil in the world? Or can you say that the seas create chaos and sin? We have tsunamis. How is that created? It comes from the earth, let's say an earthquake shaking and creating an undertow, and then the waves and the water come in. We've seen damage that it causes. I'm not saying that's part of God's will. But John is saying that in the new earth, there will be no sea, no body of water. And I'm going to go ahead and read a few verses, and we'll get into it. The second verse, he says, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying of pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he says to me, the voice is talking to John, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. The new city, the new Jerusalem. What have you read about it? What do you know about it? Let's say the old Jerusalem, we know when it was formed. It had massive walls. It had massive gates. It was prepared for the people. And we know from past studies the people disobeyed God still. But now a new Jerusalem is coming. It's coming down out of heaven from God. Now, if we go back to the beginning of times, what was present there that, I won't say caused any problems, but when Adam and Eve, and God created the heavens and the earth, Adam and Eve had the Garden of Eden. It was told that it was the most beautiful place ever. And they could have lived there forever and ever and ever. But we know what happened there. They were tempted. They were told not to eat of the tree of life. Tempted, and we won't say whose fault it was, but the apple was bitten, and we know what happened from that point on. Okay. But it tells us that the New Jerusalem, like we talked about the bride, the New Jerusalem is the bride being, or the city being prepared, like the bride prepared for her husband, is symbolizing this is our reward for the redeemed people. God is going to send a New Jerusalem down to us. And that's where we will stay. Now, other parts of this, as we talked about, there will be no more this, the body of water, the sea will be gone. But I also read, and it tells us that there will be no more darkness. It's just going to be continuous daylight. Now, how does that make you feel? I don't know.
But you know, you keep talking about the new, and we all know what it's like, how you feel when you get something new, a new house, a new car. New, I mean, the excitement is there, a new baby.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so just the excitement of knowing that it's new. I mean, we all are, everybody wants to have something new once in a while. So knowing that you're going to have something new that's going to be everlasting, and it'll be unchanging, because it's always going to be that way. I believe it's just always going to be, the excitement's always going to be there.
Mm-hmm. So you won't need no sun and moon, because the lambs will be the light.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But we go back when God gave the Israelites at the story of Mount Sinai. He gave them a newness. It was a sacred tent. It was a tabernacle. And they moved it from place to place in their lives. And God reminded them in those days, I will place, as it says in the scripture, I will place my residence among you, and I will not will reject you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. But as the prophecies go on in the studies, did people turn away from God? Did they move away from Him? You know, do we get too complacent in our lives sometimes that I don't really need you now? I know you're in the background and I can call upon you, but today you're not that important to me. And do we tend to get away and we get away and we get away until something drastic happens? And then who do we call on first? We call on our God.
Or sometimes we feel like we've been under Him, and then something bad happens, and you distance yourself because He wasn't there when you needed Him. I mean, that does happen. People do. You get angry at things happen in your life, and I've lived like this all my life. I've done this, I studied, I prayed, I did, and then a catastrophe happens to you personally in your life, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Where was He, and why did it happen? And so, and we've seen that happen. People will leave God because they felt like that the incident in their life could have been prevented if He'd have been there. You know, Lord, if You'd have been there, this wouldn't have happened. And we do see that. People leave the church because they feel like that.
But should we feel that way?
No, we shouldn't feel that way. But I'm just saying that people do.
You know,
they get angry at God. We've seen that in our grief. And when you grieve, you get angry sometimes. But some people get so angry, they never come back. Does that make sense? So,
yep. Just like the study, does He let things happen to get our attention?
Because I think He's always with us through everything.
Mm-hmm.
He tells us that. Mm-hmm. Read the Bible.
But you know how folks...
And sometimes when things are going so great, you think, I can handle it on my own.
Yeah,
and
right.
I think probably easier for me or whatever to kind of drift away when things are going so well. You think, well, I've got this under control.
You know, much.
Right, you know, as you do when things are not.
And when something bad happens, you seem to have an ongoing prayer, I guess you could say, continuously, all the time, you know. Whereas then, like Linda says, when everything's hunky-dory, it's kind of a hit and miss.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, we're humans,
right.
And He knows that it's going to... Just on the radio the other day, this guy made this statement. I thought it kind of goes with this. It said, he said that a question was posed to him, if you could go back, you know, if you could change anything, would you go back to the past or would you go to the future? And he said his answer was he would go to the future because everything that happened to the past made him the person he was today with the Lord, because all the incidents that happened made him stronger. So he would like to go to the future to see if he made a difference, if he's still making a difference. I thought that's pretty good.
Well, you can argue that with, what if you go to the future and you find out that it's bad, then, you know.
Well, but. I wish I'd gone back.
Gone back.
Yeah.
Change my mind. Yeah, can I change my mind? Like she asked, yeah. Is sleeping? Can I change my mind?
Mm-hmm. But verse 4. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more crying. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Do you look forward to a day like that? Do you ever think about that? You know, why do we see death and suffering today? You know, do we accept it as a part of life? But thinking about the newness, and like you said, being in a new house, but being in a new world, how would it make you feel? Or do you want to be a part of that type of atmosphere? Nobody hurts. It'd be wonderful. But got to thinking though, and I sometimes maybe think too much in depth. Once that takes place, it doesn't say anything about there will be any new life. Is when this happens, is it just that the people, the resurrected, saved people that God is going to take with him, is that going to be it forever? Nobody will die.
Well, like, what are we going to sit around and talk about? Like, you can't talk about your pain and your aches because you won't have any and you're not sad. And
the Bible says you're going to praise, sit and praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
You're going to be praising him and singing and casting your crown down in his feet.
How does that picture make you want to live more for Christ today? Would you?
Just the, we are in the world today that it's such a turmoil that there's something, they got the paper, I mean, there's just stuff all the time. And just to have just, you know, just a peace about your life, just a calmness.
Well, it doesn't say in the Bible someplace where
that
there'll be no marriages in heaven.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So. No headaches,
Mom,
with your husband.
You will neither marry nor be given in that.
Mm-hmm. But if we listen to what John is saying, we've known John in Revelations has given us visual aspects, and he's given us where he has heard audible voices. But in verse 5, where it tells us, it says, he who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.
See, my Bible says true and faithful.
Mm-hmm. Does John really have to write these words down? I mean, we've already got the Word of God, but I guess being a new beginning, you have to reemphasize to the people you know, we go back to the beginning and we saw the creation, but we saw what happened after that. But it's like he's telling us here, he's promising us, hopefully, that none of the things that have happened in the past, destruction, sin, all that's going to be taken away. But we talk about his identity. We know about his promise, but he tells John, and it's also mentioned back in the end, or in chapter 22, to also that he is the Alpha and the Omega. Now, in the Greek language, that's the beginning and the end. I am the first, and I am the last. Do we oftentimes not look at God as being the big goal? Because, I mean, he is everything. But he's telling us here that what he has said, we should look to his Son to find his purpose. Now, the promise. We've talked about the promise of eternal life for those who believe in Christ. But if you go back in the Old Testament, in Isaiah, he told them then, he said, "Come, everyone who is thirsty, and come to the waters." But as you move along, you go into John, he issued the invitation again, if anyone is thirsty, he should come to me and drink. Now, the word thirsty, does that mean you need water? Or thirst, should that be we need a requirement, or we need something from God, we want something. We're thirsty for his word. We're thirsty for him being present in our lives. So if you go to him, it's not that you're actually drinking something liquid. You're listening to his word, and you're taking that to satisfy your thirst, to satisfy your want, to know how better to trust in him. But in verse 7, it says, "The victor will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." Now, the writer says, and I take this a little lightly, it says, "Every person who has ever lived and will live on earth." Well, let me back up. What he's saying is, everybody that's lived, and everybody that's living now, you're going to face one of two destinies. If you're not a true person of God, and you haven't repented of your sins, and you haven't asked him back into your life, you're going to be taken away. Those that remain and those that have gone before us are going to be the resurrected ones who will live in this new kingdom, this new world, forever and ever. But in the new creation is the total inheritance complete. That's a thought-provoking question. He tells us the new world, no more tears, no more crying, no more death. But do we look at that inheritance in our lives as being totally complete?
What more would you want than to be
Well, you're there. Would you want to see new life? No. We live in a world of change daily. Do you want to go to a world where it's just going to be total peace forever and ever?
But don't you think we'll have a totally different mindset?
Mindset. You hopefully won't have this, the TVs, internet, all this stuff. No more crime, no more killings. Total peace.
And it says old things will be passed away, so
all things will be new.
Everything, I mean, it'll be like an excitement again. Just, there's something new every day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the way I look at it, the way the world's going now, I feel like a misfit. I don't know about y'all, because things just are so upside down. You feel like you really are or alien or whatever in the world, because things, what you thought were right or wrong, or it's just flipped upside down, you know. You feel like you're really not in
what we've studied and learned all of our lives about marriage and genders and all that. It's just like, it's just gone away. It doesn't matter.
That's the devil taking over the whole world. And so you feel like this is not your home, but heaven is our home.
It is. If we don't know each other in heaven, if we're not going to marry, how we go? That's not, we're not going to know our spouse.
Well, no, but they won't be our spouse.
Oh.
The way I understand it.
Yeah, because
we had an evangelist here one year, and we had him back 2 or 3 years. First time he was here, his wife had died, and he believed that, you know, he knew her and God, and she would be his wife. And when he came back, he had a new wife. And it kind of changed a little bit as time to explain that.
So he's going to know both wives?
But I guess another aspect of it is, there again, how do we relate this to a non-believer? How do you make someone understand that, as we call it, the thirst, they really need to get thirsty for God?
Even though they're a non-believer, you can tell them that God loves them.
Mm-hmm.
Always
and always.
And he always will.
Mm-hmm. But do people look at you and maybe think you're funny or crazy that you, I mean, just like what I read that my friend posted, he predicts in a month that, you know, do people then begin to look at you like you're off the wall, it's just total book of lies. You don't know what you're talking about.
But then you think their life is off the wall.
Yes, because I wouldn't want to live like, and it's a two-way street.
Walking the days off the calendar, 2 weeks, 1 week, today.
Yep. But, I mean, in closing, it's been an interesting study. I don't think any one person can tell you when and where and how. All I can rely upon is, like this gentleman last night that I listened to one little sermon thing, is he said God does things in periods of, or uses number 7. You know, he created heaven and the earth in 7 days, and he was, all his theology and teachings, and he would even go back to the days of Noah, when, you know, Noah lived to be 900 or so years old. But he thinks that in these periods that possibly we are in that, which what they call that 1,000 year of tribulation. And then after that, you know, there would be the 1,000 years of calmness. But he was, it's interesting to listen to, but there again, like he said, don't count the days.
The only thing we can rely on
is this
book and what God feeds us and tells right. us while we're reading it.
Right. Because
God will let you know what He wants you to know.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're here when He comes back, because we'll know.
If we're here.
If we're here.
If we're not here, though, we are promised that He's going to bring us back. So. Rise again.
That's
right. So, all right.
Does everybody have a new book?
We're starting in Genesis then.
Yeah.
We're ending the world. We're going to start.
That's right. Then we're going to start all over. We're going to get on the beginning.
Yep. All right. Who wants to close us in our?
Yeah,
they have a closing prayer. Yeah, we do. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.